Hello, everybody, and welcome to this next episode of Into the Prey, Breaching the Chaos of the Church with Nick and Mario Franks. This is our normal Friday session, and we've been doing, as everybody knows, we've been doing these regular weekly sessions with Dave Brennan, but our normal Friday session, before we started focusing on that, would always have been with guests or friends or book reviews or stuff like that, and that's what we're doing. Our Friday sessions are continuing in earnest today, and I'm here with my very good friend Seamus Bannon, fresh from Michigan. Seamus and Sarah are very good friends of myself and Mary, and this is really just like having a conversation with a mate over Zoom rather than a structured podcast. But we do want to speak about something quite specific today, and that's, we'll see where we go. We'll probably keep this quite short and brief, but we want to talk about healing, and specifically, as with everything we're doing in this podcast, it's in the context of breaching the chaos of the church. And just to say quickly for people listening, you know, we have an online community that's called Jesus Come. It's not only an online community, it's partly online and so on. But one of the things that we'll be talking about there increasingly over the next few months is doctrine and coming to a place of recognizing that the church, part of the church's chaos, is because of lots of different kinds of doctrine, some of which are false. In 1 Timothy, Paul described it as doctrines of demons. And so in other words, doctrinal error is a major problem. It's a major issue with regards to discipleship being faithful or not, whether lives are shipwrecked or not. And it touches in lots of different places. And one of the areas that I think many Christians, many believers would accept there are wildly different opinions is in the area of healing. And Seamus, do you want to just say a little bit about the kind of backstory just briefly to this post? I'm just going to read a post out after you've done that from our app that generated a bit of conversation, but it basically served to highlight very effectively this issue of doctrinal error when it comes to major issues. So do you want to just say a little bit about why you'd written your post?
Yeah, sure, mate. Basically, in short, I have a chronic autoimmune disease called ankylosing spondylitis. I won't try to spell it, but it's essentially a disease that causes me intense flare-ups in my back and chest and all over my body. Now, technically, it's incurable. So I've been suffering from chronic pain, as far as I can remember, since about 18. Actually, the more I think about this, I can't remember a pain-free day since that time. So you're talking 16, 17 years now. Yeah. Where I've been in pain. Other days are worse. Other days I'm incapacitated. You've experienced me calling you on the phone, Nick, crying because of my pain, and so basically that's been going on in my life all the while. You know, I'm praying about relief in my body. I'm praying about the Lord taking this pain away. Since that time. Since about, well, I was 18, so 17 years. And of course, wondering why I'm in constant pain, having those days of wondering why is there pain, you know, why can't it just go away? So that's basically the backstory leading up to this last couple of years where I've shared again through other social media outlets, through people I've connected with, through the Jesus Come app about me having this disease, as it's known. And where I've come to right now with journeying with this affliction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can get you, mate.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. And again, for folk listening, just want to reiterate that, you know, the medically speaking, the broad difference between conditions is either that we can experience afflictions or pain or disease or whatever that's acute, and then conditions that are chronic, and this is a chronic long-term condition, and so therefore when it comes to something like pain management, it's a massive issue, and it's important for people to understand that in what we're about to talk about, because
I should have said essentially I've been misdiagnosed for a lot of years, until it was only until recently I was actually diagnosed with this being a chronic condition. Mm-hmm. So for a long time I was told that it was back spasms, it was muscular issue, and continually misdiagnosed. Mm-hmm. Other times I felt I don't need to check out what it is because I know God can take it away, all those sort of thoughts. But it was recently where I have been diagnosed with it, and now I'm receiving the treatment that it doesn't cure it, but like you said, it manages the pain. Mm-hmm. So the treatment I have will not take away the pain 100%, but it may reduce it by 10, potentially 20%, ultimately improving my quality of life by 10 or 20%.
Mm-hmm. I was going to read this post that you've written recently, if that's okay. I didn't ask your permission. I just assumed that was okay. So that's okay with you, yeah?
Yeah, all good.
Brilliant, thanks. Just because, again, this is what we want to spend most of our time talking about today, which is what we understand from the Bible should be our posture and our position and our stance with regards to healing. Let me just read what you wrote. Evening all, thank you so much for the prayers. Truth be told, although I was in less pain this morning, the toll yesterday's flares took on my body and this evening's pains are bad. I know the Lord can heal me. I've seen him heal others and experienced his healing touch in the past. This past few years, as I struggle with chronic condition, I've heard him say many times, even if I don't heal you of this affliction, is everything else enough? What an amazing Father we serve, faithful in every way. And there were a bunch of different comments on under there, but, and 99.9% of them were just simply saying, supporting you, praying for you, thank you for sharing, that kind of stuff. But one guy, and I think it wasn't just one person, it was a couple of people, and these people that we're talking about, they're brothers and friends, so these aren't enemies, they're just, it's representing, again, it's serving as an example of the different understanding across the board within the church when it comes to many different issues, but healing is a big one.
Yeah. I think they're important responses just to highlight. I think that's what you're getting at.
And I'm not going to read out the actual responses. I just wanted to read your post. Yeah. And then just explain in a couple of seconds that there was a couple of people who expressed concern that you had said, this past few years, as I struggle with a chronic condition, I've heard the Lord say many times, even if I don't heal you of this affliction, is everything else enough? What an amazing Father we serve. And a couple of people had expressed concern. One person had even said that they felt quite distressed by the fact that you were essentially saying that it might be that God might not heal you, or even you're inferring that there may be a purpose in not being healed. And in other words, well, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but do you want to just explain your response to that? Because it was quite difficult to respond to that because of the misunderstanding.
Yeah. Well, essentially the responses people give, I've experienced them before, especially when I've experienced this thought process, this time with the Lord, and this response the Lord has given me has only been in recent time. Before that, I would have been in a position where I would have probably got up in the morning and said, I do not have this disease. I'm walking free of this disease. Mm-hmm. I would have been laid up in my bed saying, this disease is not here. This disease is gone. And I would have been saying, but I would have been saying all that in Jesus' name. I say that kind of in jest, but I know there's probably people listening there who are experiencing that, or who are maybe in that place of really, really lying in bed in chronic pain and saying, I do not have this in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, that is a reflection of the way that they have been thought to think of healing and have been thought to think of our right to receive healing, you know, as yeah. sons and daughters of theirs, as co-heirs of Christ. But one way I would put it is that I know, like I said in the post, I know God can heal.
Mm-hmm.
So although God can heal me, I must never presume that he must.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's never a presumption in me now of recent times, I should say. This is not all my life. This is only mm-hmm. very recently.
Mm-hmm.
That I cannot just presume he must heal me. And I think that's kind of what I'm getting at. And the idea that the highlight of this was never about God not healing me, really. It was more to do with everything else being enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I suppose it's similar. There's a few verses we can think of. It's especially the main example for me is the model of Jesus himself in Luke 22:42, where he asked for this cup to be passed from him.
Mm-hmm.
But then he went on to say, yet not my will, but yours be done.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I can pray, God, let this cup, let this whatever I want to call it, be passed from me, be taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, Lord, let your will be done. And in that, I'm saying, God, you know, whatever is to come of this, everything else is enough, basically, mm-hmm. even if I don't receive this healing of my affliction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even in more recent times, I'm asking myself, or I'm coming to a place where again, this might be something that a lot of people would question, where I'm saying I may never be healed of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me just interject, if you don't mind, just to keep the pace of this quick.
Sure.
And I think they will talk, because in one sense that doesn't honor or do justice to what we're talking about. And it's worth just saying that this is something that you and I talk about on a weekly basis, if not, you know, daily basis in
yeah.
some way. And I think that's mm-hmm. important when it comes to chronic pain, issues of pain and pain management, that kind of thing. You know, we are called to bear each other's burdens. We're called to prefer each other mm-hmm. to ourselves. That's part of what Christian community is, and that indeed that's a central part of life together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I want to just keep some of this quite short and sweet, because to draw attention to error is really what I want to do. Now, you just said in the recent past you would have probably been in bed experiencing mm-hmm. significant pain, but your understanding of God, it's not even just understanding the Bible, but it's understanding of a loving God, loving, faithful, never let you down Savior, is that you needed mm-hmm. to somehow confess with your mouth or think in your mind something that was from a place of faith. I don't know what you'd have called that at the time, but it sounds to me a bit like the word of faith.
Yeah.
Camp, and I hesitate to use the word camp, because that would suggest that it's just another tent, a group of people. Actually, we're going to be talking about this much more in the weeks ahead. It's error. You know, the word of faith, I've got no doubt now, isn't just a denominational variance. It's a deep, dark, demonic error that keeps
yeah.
people bound in this kind of nonsense. Now, can you just talk about that for a bit? Because
yeah, sure. Yeah,
where that came from? Where did that, was that something that came from your church at the time, teaching from where did that come from?
I think growing up as a evangelical Pentecostal, and I would have grown up, you know, in the church in the early 90s, mid 90s, you know, 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember looking back and listening to preachers at the time saying, you know, the reason you're not healed is because you don't have enough faith, or the reason you're not healed is, you know, you don't believe that God can heal you. And even if I can recall that, you know, upon somebody passing away, you know, of it from a disease or whatever, a Christian passing away,
mm.
people making suggestions that, oh, they didn't have enough faith enough to see healing. And, you know, that's kind of, you know, at the time that was acceptable to me. In my shame now, looking back, and I use the word shame because it, even though it was all I knew, I didn't really look at the word for myself. Look at reading up healing for myself. Look at really saying, you know, look at when Jesus in Luke 22:42, or Paul's physical affliction in 2 Corinthians, and seeing mm-hmm. what that meant for myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think growing up with that, been taught to me, and just accepting that as the way things are, that, I remember having conversation with friends who would say, and I mean, they'd be have a cold or a flu, and they'd be saying, "I don't have a cold, I don't have a flu," in Jesus' name. This idea that you are experiencing something, and your instant response is, "I don't have that thing in Jesus' name."
Yeah.
And I look back on those times and think, "Oh, what was I thinking?" But I ultimately I believe it's just the way I was brought up to believe. Yeah. And it wasn't till I, in recent times where I started to question some of the stuff I'd been taught for years. And really, although there's, I did read the word for myself, don't get me wrong, but really not just relying on what a denomination says about Jesus.
Yeah.
Or says is the way things should be. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until that I started coming to this place of being able to say, even if God doesn't heal me of this affliction, is everything else enough?
Mm-hmm. That's such a beautiful, powerful testimony, mate, and I appreciate you being honest about that. I mean, I think I've, just to agree with you, I think we all can, listening to this, can understand that it's very easy to be swept along with basically something other than what the clear teaching of the Bible is. And you don't have to go looking very far, do you, in the Bible to find... For example, you just referred to Paul's thorn in the flesh. That's the kind of archetypal example where the Lord's answer to Paul, who had asked him to remove it many times, was that his grace was sufficient for him.
Exactly.
And that's really what you're saying in your post, is that the Lord's grace is sufficient for you, even if you are never healed from this condition. So I'm wanting to draw attention to the nonsense that it is. And again, I've experienced that. People... Not even just people speaking to themselves, I don't have this cold in Jesus' name, but also speaking that to turning that to me. So like if I was unwell and somebody said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, I just feel a bit rough today. I've got a cold, head cold or something." Come on, yeah. Franks. What's the word in your mouth? What's the confession of your mouth? Blah, 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 blah. So in other words, you're suffering, whether it's something relatively small, like a cold or whatever, but on top of that, then you've got this piled pressure. It's like Job and his so-called friends just piling on all this advice and, somehow I'm supposed to be in a different realm or region of faith to believe that,
mate, just to interject there. It's this again might sound off, but when I'm having a really bad day, when I'm suffering from chronic illness and I'm struggling, and the thing about this chronic illness, there's some illnesses and diseases like this that are hidden, that you actually can't see the manifestation of them in people. You know what I'm saying? And although somebody's suffering, you may look at them and not know that. So when I'm having a chronic day of flare ups left, right, and center, truth be told, one of the last things I actually want or need somebody to say to me is, "Okay, I'm going to pray right now in Jesus' name that you be healed."
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
It's not, I think there are those that are genuine. Don't get me wrong. But the fault is that I think there's a fault mode that people revert to that says, "Okay, I'm just going to say these words and something will happen." Yeah. And you know what someone like me needs in that moment is just an arm around the shoulder and say, "Hey, that sucks that you're going through that, mate."
Yeah, I'm not sure if you've read a post that I wrote just yesterday about this, but you've I don't think you have, because I don't think you use Instagram, and if you're interested, you can go on Instagram and I'll put this link into the show notes. You can read it for yourself. But what you've just said is almost word for word what I've said. And I think this is what we can just spend the next 5 minutes talking about, and then we'll see where we go and maybe just pray and close. But I think, again, coming from your, and this all has come from your post, where you've basically, a few days ago, you've testified to having a difficult couple of days, but that you fundamentally know that God's grace is sufficient for you, and that's what your testimony has been. And yet other people have come on to express concern about that. If I was a father and I said that to my son, blah, 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 blah. So first of all, I want to make 2 points. First of all, there seems to be a problem with people understanding that God can be completely, perfectly loving and at the same time not necessarily fully heal us now. In other words, one day that will happen. One day every tear will be wiped away. One day every chronic condition will be dealt with. But we are not living in heaven now. And this is part of the deep demonic error of the likes of Bethel and Bill Johnson, etc., which is that we're not living in heaven now. We aren't little gods. We are in a period of now but not yet. And Jesus is coming. Jesus will come to inaugurate the end of the age and the beginning of the new, and that will be dealt with. So it's to draw attention to the fact that when you testified, you're not in any doubt as to whether God is perfectly loving or willing to heal or able to heal. It's that you've submitted yourself to the mystery that is that God may have another plan. And now that doesn't mean to say that God smites people with illness or somehow, you know, somehow prevents people from, you know, but there is a mystery to all of this. And I think if you read, for example, Psalm 119, the psalmist knew very well that if it wasn't for affliction, then he wouldn't have learnt what it was that God wanted him to learn and had to have him to learn before he died and went into glory. So it's like there is something to do with affliction playing a very specific, particular role in our sanctification. That's a separate issue. But I want to just say that, but also the whole thing of the word of faith experience that you just alluded to there. What would you say to people who think like that?
All right. Well, I have an example. As you were talking there, I was reminded of something a few years ago when I was a part of, actually the same time, a part of a similar church that, the same church that you were part of a number of years ago, Nick. I remember I was involved with a little ministry that was kind of a part of the church, and we were having these quote unquote revival meetings, you know, Monday to Friday each night, and then on a Saturday and Sunday. And on the Saturday, I was playing football with the team, with you, the same team at the time, and I jumped up for something, a header or something, I don't know what. I probably went in for a tackle, knowing me like crazy. And I ended up damaging my ankle. And I'd probably
taken the ball away from you too quickly, and you'd probably ended up
probably, mate, probably. I wish I played you in rugby, mate. You would have been the one I would have went for. Anyways. but I had damaged my ankle, and I came off, and I did the thing that you're not supposed to do. I took my sock and my boot off, and this ankle just went up and swelled right up my foot, up until most of my calf, nearly touching my knee. And I knew I would call it the daftness of the thought of this way of thinking about the word of faith and everything. Mm-hmm. I knew ultimately I should go to a hospital, right? Seamus, this is not looking good. I should go to hospital. But I also knew that I was involved in a leadership capacity of this revival meetings that were happening. So instead of going to the hospital, I decided to go to one of these revival meetings. And I went there that night. And I was, during the meeting, I was standing up on this foot, jumping up and down, declaring in Jesus' name that I'm healed. And all I was doing, mate, was further damaging my ankle. Further damaging my... Honestly, I would jump up and down, and I'd be down in pain, and I'd be in agony. I'd literally broken my ankle. I found out later, after that folly, you call it folly, after that folly, a couple of days later, I went to the hospital, and he told me, you have a broken ankle. Why did you not come to see me a few days ago when this happened? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't tell him because I went to a meeting and was jumping up and down, declaring I was healed in Jesus' name. Now, I can look back on that and laugh. Mm-hmm. You know, I can look back on that laugh, but I know there is some research out there, and I'll send you the link because it's important for people to see. There's some research out there that shows that people that have terminal illnesses and that are involved in religious kind of communities and stuff, you know, deeply involved in spiritual communities. And I would hesitate to say I'm sure most of these would be word of faith people in the American context. They're the ones that need, that wait to the very end, that get the very serious end of life treatment, or they die in ICUs more so than others who see the other treatments that are available to them to help them, you know? And so I could, for example, I could be saying, I do not have this disease in my body in Jesus' name, and refuse the treatment that is available to me. And in my faith, in my boldness, others may say, oh, you have such a level of faith to believe that, you know, God can heal you. And if what I don't, mate, and that really ultimately, it's a funny example I give you.
Yeah.
But imagine, what if that was something more serious, you know?
Yeah, totally. It is a funny example, and you'd not mentioned that before, but it genuinely tickled me just thinking about that, particularly if it had been me that you'd been injured from, because my feet had been too quick. No, but seriously, like the thing I wanted to say a minute ago before my mind just wandered, and let's just finish with this, is the difference between something being genuinely in faith and not. And I think this is a problem generally across the church, because it's like the presence of God, for example. It's like you shouldn't need, there shouldn't be any doubt if God is in the house, quote unquote. You know, like in Acts, you know, people who didn't know God at all, who weren't saved, came in and declared, surely God is among you. So when God is present, or when we're talking about faith, it should be clear. It shouldn't be something that you're feeling you're having to force or whip up from a kind of place of pressure or whatever.
Yeah.
But finishing with this thought, and it was what you said a minute ago about the whole thing of how you were feeling when you're having a bad day and someone comes in immediately and says, be healed in Jesus' name. I used that phrase recently, and somebody, I was making the point that you can be talking and praying in those terms, but actually it feels hurtful or it feels insensitive or whatever. It feels like you're just on this default mode of somehow rebuking something or using Jesus' name as though it's a one, as though it's hard to just sum up, but do you know what I'm trying to say? It's like the misuse of the name of Jesus. That doesn't mean to say we don't pray in Jesus' name. Of course not. And that's what someone had asked me recently. And I'm like, do you honestly think that? Do you really think that we don't pray? I pray in Jesus' name every single day. And I pray for people's healing, including my own, in Jesus' name very regularly. But I think the difference here is, and I'm thinking in my mind's eye of I think it was Peter and John, when they were walking up into the temple and they were asked for money from the beggar. And famously they said, silver and gold, we don't have you, but what we have, we do give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, now there's no doubt in that moment that Peter and John had faith.
Yeah.
Excuse me, that they had faith, and that and that there's power in the name of Jesus. So the conclusion from this is not that we don't pray in the name of Jesus, or that we don't rebuke demons in the name of Jesus, or that we don't even rebuke some infirmities or afflictions that might be demonic in the name of Jesus. But what we're saying is it isn't a default mode. It's not like your granny is about to die from cancer and you're over them sweating in this kind of like fervent prayer, be healed in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like that there's something of our humanity. And this is why Jesus was the Son of Man. You know, Jesus, I know that there has other, you know, that's to do with Daniel, the book of Daniel and prophecy and that kind of thing. But there is something of, and Mark's gospel particularly labors this, you know, the fast paced narrative of Mark, and, you know, that we're not throwing out that we would never pray in the name of Jesus for healing, but what we're saying, but what we're saying is that to just do that as a default mode without even exercising the gift of discernment is something. There's something profoundly unbelievable about that.
You know what I'm saying? In any of these situations we're talking about, there is a Spirit's leading in it, and I think waiting for that and listening to what the Spirit of God has to say. And I know we want to wrap up, but I want to give two very small examples of this, Nick. Which happened within a 2-week period of time. Okay, I'll be very quick. But one example is I remember I was out in Italy at a training facility for believers and missions and all that. And a friend of mine, who I had befriended there at the time, he had come to me saying that his grandfather was in hospital. It was very serious, and asked me to pray with him. And I said, okay, you know, I said, of course I'll pray for you. And I said, let's just wait on the Lord for a second. And I said those words, and it stood out to me. And when I waited on the Lord, I out of nowhere, I heard this sense. I heard these words. I got this sense, do not pray for healing. Okay. So I was like, okay. So I stopped and I listened. And although it was bizarre to me at the time, I didn't. And what I prayed for, I prayed for the grandfather. I prayed for just for the comfort for the family in this situation. I prayed for God's will to be done. I really, you know, but I didn't specifically say be healed in Jesus' name. Those words never came out of my mouth. And then I'll park that for a second. A couple of weeks later, another situation occurred. where I was praying in just on my own somewhere, and somebody came running to me saying that there's a man here, and he has cancer in his body, and we want you to pray with him, and it's intestinal cancer is what he's got, and we want you to come and pray for him. And in that moment, I don't know what went through my mind, but I reverted back to the default of hands on in Jesus' name be healed, and I was shouting, and I was rebuking, and I was roaring, and all of this was going on. And you know, I didn't wait. I didn't stop. I didn't wait for the Lord's guidance, the Spirit's leading. I just went into my default mode of, you know, this idea of what I've been brought up to believe is the way to do things. And this is the mystery. This sums up the mystery of God. It came back that the grandfather ended up coming out of hospital, and he was well, and things got better with him. The first example, the second example I gave you, a couple of weeks later, that man died. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, what did I learn in that situation? For me, what I learned in that situation, there is a time and there is a place in all of these instances to sit and wait and listen to the Spirit's leading for that moment, for that time. And like I said, I'm not saying there's not people out there who faithfully pray in Jesus' name. I do it. We do it together, mate, yeah. And there's situations going on. But I think there is wisdom. There is so much, wisdom is the word, to listen to the Spirit's leading. And I like what John Piper says. John Piper says that we don't honor God by assuming we know what's best in any given situation. Mm-hmm. Let me read that again. We don't honor God by assuming we know what's best in any given situation. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God knows what's best. God knows what's best in that situation. Mm-hmm. I do remember when I heard report back that second example I gave to that man died, I was distraught. Mm-hmm. You know, I was very upset. I felt, you know, I prayed the prayer, I believed, you know, all that sort of stuff, the faith that, and I said, why did he die? But I've come to the understanding, coming full circle again to what I said at the start, although God can heal us, mm-hmm. we must never presume that he must.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you pray for us, mate?
Yes, mate, of course.
So good.
Oh, Father. Mm. Oh, Father God. Mm. Oh, Lord. Lord, I'm sure there's people waiting and listening in on this right now that are in a similar position to myself, or maybe in a worse position to myself, and health-wise, they may have a terminal illness. Lord, and they may be struggling. They may have been damaged in the past by individuals that we've just spoken of, reverting to just this default mode of not offering the help that person needs at the time, but just default mode of, in Jesus' name, be healed. Mm-hmm. And while we recognize and we believe fully that there is power in the name of Jesus,
yes.
Of course, we do not deny that. We always pray in Jesus' name. We also understand, Lord, that there is this time and a moment, and in all these situations, to listen to the Spirit's leading. Mm-hmm. Lord, as Jesus prayed in the garden, would we ultimately pray that not our will but yours be done, God? Mm-hmm. Would you help us to understand that? Would you help us to understand that ultimately healing will come? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, Jesus will return.
Yes.
And there will be no sickness. There will be no mourning. There will be no pain. Father, I know for myself, that even if I don't receive my healing here over this next decade or however many years, 20, 30, whatever years I've left on this earth, I know that ultimately I will be healed, because I'll be with you, Jesus. I will be with you. You will return and take away all the pain. Mm-hmm. And Father, I pray for those who are listening in that are those individuals, that maybe this is challenging their way of thinking, that they won't just revert to a default mode, Lord. I ask that you would lead them, that you would guide them in this, Lord, that you would keep them open to this teaching, Father God, that they would come to the scriptures to themselves and look at what Paul says when he prayed, and look at what Jesus ultimately prayed, Father God. And Lord, forgive us where we fall short in all of these things ourselves, Lord. Forgive us where we revert to default stuff, Lord, and not revert to listening and be discerning of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray all these things. Amen.
Lord, I thank you so much for the power that is in your name, and that just the mention of your name can literally make the difference between life and death. And that just thinking when you before you raised Lazarus, you sighed deeply and you wept, and then you literally conquered death and you raised your friend. And Lord, I pray for that kind of faith in your body at this hour, that there would be the kind of word of faith in the mouth of your people that is not to do with a denomination or a movement or a preacher, but it's to do with you. It's to do with your perfect compassion for your friends and for the harassed and helpless sheep.
Yeah.
And for the purposes of God and ultimately the glory of the Father. And such discernment and sensitivity. And Lord, we know that you did many things, and John said that there wouldn't be room in all of the earth to hold all the books if everything was written down that you did. So we can only imagine what you did. But we acknowledge now that we are not God, that you are. And I ask simply that you would help all of us to be able to see from your word how you want us to live the supernatural life of discipleship of you. I pray that you show us what is false, what is not right, and what is merely style. Show us the substance of your word.
Lord,
I pray even now that there would be an increase of the fruit of healing and the fruit of the supernatural evidence of your presence with us, Jesus. Yeah. And even in this moment now, I pray that there would be a sense of the gift of healing for people who need that, but also those who can understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. So Lord, we pray now in your name and ask, Father, that you'd be pleased and glorified. In Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you everybody for listening to this episode of Into the Prayer. We trust that it's been a blessing for you as you've listened to it wherever you are in the world. If you'd like to get involved in supporting this, what we're doing here through these thrice weekly, that's three podcasts every week, that's 12 a month. It's quite a big undertaking. If you'd like to get involved in supporting that in terms of the technical hosting of the costs associated with that, but also the ongoing desire to improve the production quality, all of that takes a lot of time, and we want to do our very best with what's in our hands. So if you'd like to get involved with either one-off or regular giving, you can do that very easily, safely and securely through firebrandnotes.com/give. And you can find a little bit more about Mary and myself there as well. So please, please do that. If you want any more information, please get in touch. We'd be more than happy to get back to you. And until next week, guys, let's keep praying earnestly. Come, Lord Jesus.